as I wait, heart of God.
Hello, New Life, and welcome to the Growth Group podcast, where we believe that spiritual growth happens better in circles than it does in rows. My name is David Haken, and I'm joined by Jonathan Markham, the pastor of New Life Christian Fellowship here in Pacifica, California. And we record these podcasts to help you get the most out of your small group discussion each week. This week, we are continuing our series on Deuteronomy. We are transitioning from what we've called the look backwards, chapters 1 to 4, and now we're into Moses' kind of first call to obey the covenant, although we saw that quite a lot in Deuteronomy chapter 4. But now we're finishing off that chapter and going through chapter 6, verse 9, where it's important that we're stopping right there, because that's right after the Shema, which we will discuss at length in our last question together. Really important stuff happening in this block of scripture, isn't there?
Oh, absolutely. And you've given them their first question is an opportunity for them to... And, you know, the way you described it in your sermon at the beginning is of the, you know, we're going to get to details, and then you're going to expand the details.
Yeah, so, general stipulations moving into specific.
So much of what's going to come in the later chapters is framed on, in a sense, one commentator says that you know, the first part of chapter 5, which is the Ten Commandments, is like Moses' text for the whole of the sermon.
Right, know? I've seen that as well, and we'll probably discuss this more at length later, but how the Ten Commandments, you know, 1 through 10, Moses, in his chapters from, I guess, 6 through 26, then we'll take some time expanding on the first commandment and then expanding on the second all the way through. And I think sometimes that can feel like a bit of a stretch, but other times it's like, ooh, there might be something here.
Yes, yeah. I mean, it does. But, I mean, it's like, you know, when you look at, as you just said, your divisions are very extremely helpful, but you know there are occasions when you see, as you just said,
overlap there in chapter 4.
Yeah, in chapter 4, he does begin to look forward, but you know
sometimes these kind of structures are just arbitrary, just helpful tools to help us remember things, and not so much like this is what the author intended. Some of them are very obvious. 12 through 26 is a pretty clear division mark, but not all of them. Anyways, let's get on to our second question, which. We've titled Hear, Obey, Live. The message of the book of Deuteronomy is simple, and it is repeated over and over again in almost every chapter of the book. In chapters 5 and 6, this message is found most plainly in verses 5:1, 32-33, and 6:1-3. We've given you three little short passages there. Read these verses and summarize Deuteronomy's message in your own words. God bears his heart in 5:29, longing that his people would heed his message always. Rewrite now together, rewrite Israel's history. What would have happened? What would it have looked like if Israel had such a heart always?
Fascinating question. In a sense, you know, there's a limit to how much answer we can give, because it's up to your imagination to see what might have happened.
At least what God's intention was for his people. Yeah. We saw that pretty clearly in a sermon a couple weeks ago.
Right. yes, I mean, and he did give, you know, God had some pretty clear objectives for the people of Israel. Firstly, that they should live and flourish, because that would be what other people would see, and that would be okay. So it's a good thing to follow the one God.
Right. A life built in relationship to one's creator results in blessing.
And it ought to. And that's what the question says. Hear,
obey,
and live. Mm-hmm. So, and it's so often that we, you know, the Old Testament is easy to misinterpret in these ways, that God is not oppressing his people. He's trying to release them into freedom. The freedom to live the way they were intended to live.
Right. Yeah, and that's a call that Moses gives again and again. They're at the end of 4, at the end of 11, at the end of 30. This call to life. Yeah, I think that verse in 5:29 is is really captivating. Oh, that they had such a heart as yes. this always to fear me and keep my commandments, that it might go well with them.
And it so underlines the fact that God loves his people mm-hmm. and that Moses loves his people too. He loves them and he wants them to, he has a pastor's heart.
Yeah, it reminds me of that scene in Numbers where I guess Joshua or maybe some others come up to Moses and they're like, oh, Moses, there's a bunch of other people who are prophesying in the camp. Should we stop them? And Moses is like, are you kidding me? I wish that everyone had the yeah. Spirit of God on them, which totally anticipates this new covenant age in which we do all have the Spirit yeah. on us. But here's the longing of Moses that the people of God would experience the blessings of God as he has been fortunate enough. But let's look at our third question now about the Ten Commandments. Quick. Before you look, can you name all the Ten Commandments? No peeking. What were you taught about the Ten Commandments as a child? Has this approach changed over time? Each of these laws protects something precious. Verse 17 guards a person's life from being taken unjustly. List the interests protected in each of these laws. What do these protections reveal about sin's tendencies and God's priorities?
Yeah, As I think I said a few minutes ago, this is almost sort of like the text for Moses' yeah. sermon. Mm-hmm. It's a summary of the law, and he gives. I always like the thing he said. This is not the Ten Suggestions; it's the Ten Commandments. And you see, as you say, how it protects people, but how if a community behave to one another in this way. If covenant faithfulness, don't commit adultery, covenant respect for everybody's property,
yeah.
don't steal, don't covet your neighbor's wife, and a time of rest, if we all, and of course that was such a powerful reminder to them because they'd been slaves, and God says, no, no longer do you have to work all the time or all the time because somebody tells you to. I'm telling you, you need to take a time of rest. Yeah.
And that's one of those commandments which is distinctly Jewish. No mm-hmm. other society had a commandment like this.
And exactly.
It makes me like wonder, if you look at these Ten Commandments, a lot of them are like pretty obvious. You know, don't commit adultery. I think pretty much all societies, though they have plenty of violations here, they all would support that a husband shouldn't cheat on his wife. Except, like that's fairly normal. Don't steal. Don't kill. These are
fairly normal. That, but how seriously do we take them? I mean, nowadays
when the word of God, yeah, it's a different level.
Nowadays, but, you know, if you look at the command not to commit adultery as coming from God, it's a little bit different than saying, well, you know, we're supposed to be faithful to our wives, which tends to be the attitude that...
I guess I'm thinking in terms of, like, common grace.
Yes.
And the laws that are pretty similar across lots of different societies and cultures, way out in Babylon, where they never heard of the name of Yahweh, they have laws about don't murder people.
Right, yeah.
So, yeah. Yes, but yeah, there's a weightiness when they come from the very lips of God. Last question about yep. the Shema. Let's do that. Maybe we should talk about just what we mean when we say the word Shema as well. What does it mean to love God with all your heart and with all your soul and all your might? Consider your own motivations. In what areas do you live by God's law out of obligation, and in what ways do you follow God's law because of your affection for Him? How is love of God, or how is love of the Lord to affect the way children are to be raised in the new land?
This is a really interesting question because, to be honest with you, David, I read it, in the New Testament version, because of course Jesus says you should love the Lord, His
heart, soul, mind,
heart, soul,
and
mind,
strength. Yeah, right.
And I have meditated on that for a while and recognized how little I really think I understand what that mm-hmm. means.
It's an extremely important question, isn't it?
I mean, it is, and it's a very complex. In a sense, what does it really mean to love Him like that? And I think that rather than give an answer to the question, I think that I would say we need to talk about it we need to exercise our mind. And I doubt we will ever plumb the depths of what it really means. But you know, there are practicalities of the way in which we allow our minds to, where we allow our minds to stray, into how often we measure the ways we think and against the way God behaves, and so to love Him with all our minds is to say, look, I want to make my thoughts subject to your direction.
Right, right.
But even you say that, what does that actually mean? I think it's something we need to really not just say, because we do, but really spend some time thinking, what does that mean for me?
Yeah, definitely worth pondering together as a growth group. I hope this conversation has been helpful for you. And I guess next, am I up to bat? I think I am.
I think you are up to bat. Yes, for you.
Okay, so you should know that.
You're going to do the rest of chapter 6 and
7 and 8.
And then I'm going to come back from vacation and do chapters 9 to 11.
Now we have a busy summer, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Well, I'm glad you guys are rolling through this summer with us. And blessed to be
next week, of course, we will be welcoming Christmas into our world.
I'm looking forward to that, too. Yeah. We'll see you guys then.
As I wait, heart of God.